The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Governments say they're angry and frustrated at local councils for failing on dereliction. So they say they're going to bring in a new tax as part of the upcoming finance bill. The tax will initially apply to properties located in urban areas with populations of 4,000 or more. Here to tell me more is PhD researcher in spatial planning, Carol Tannell, and executive chairman of Tom Phillips and Associates. Tom Phillips, you are very welcome to the programme. Carol, these proposals, they do represent a pretty significant change, I think, in how Ireland is going to deal with dereliction going forward, because we've had a levy. Now we're talking about a tax that would be operated by the revenue commissioners. How exactly would it operate?
Good morning, Ciara. And absolutely, this is a very deliberate and robust change. But I think it's really important to say at the outset that any faux outrage from sitting government is just incredibly unfair on the local authorities that have been under-resourced, disempowered, and have been under enormous pressure over recent years. So yes, there's a problem, but for sitting government to blame local authorities seems incredibly unhelpful. However, we will take this moving forward as a really positive step. The derelict property tax, as it will be now applied, we're still waiting to know what's the definition of derelict, what is considered underuse. But the reality is, in our towns and cities, we have such, and villages, we've such a high level of underuse, as well as vacancy, as well as dereliction, that actually that's a real slap in the face for our generation of renters or people who can't even get on the rental ladder. So it's a really positive thing, arguably too late, but it's better now than never. But I think the blame game, we're just past that stage now. Ireland is in a state of a housing emergency, so it's good to see government pull every lever it has at its disposal to make the available space ready for occupation.
Tom, to talk about that blame game, I'm looking at comments from the Taoiseach Simon Harris when he spoke on this on Sunday. He said local authorities have not done enough to rectify this issue. They have a direct derelict sites levy that they can collect, but he said we've given them extra staff, we've given them extra funding, and they haven't done enough on dereliction. We are going to have to take this over. We can't leave it to the local authorities. They've badly failed, with a few notable exceptions, by the way. Do you agree?
I don't, and I agree with Carol about the faux outrage, because the state itself is the owner of many derelict properties, and we don't even have a single register of derelict properties owned by the state. And that could be anything. Well, there's obviously a definition from underutilised and derelict. And derelict has been around for 36 years. We have a Derelict Sites Act, and the state itself doesn't have a register of all the properties it owns in the first place. And then secondly, it doesn't have a register of all the lands that it has that are gone beyond being underutilised and actually derelict. So I think that the state should really look at itself first before it blames the 31 local authorities who have been under-resourced for many, many years. And things like planners weren't on the critical skills list, and there's only so many planners are produced a year in the various universities. And yet they're suddenly given the resources and supposed to deal with something that's been there for 36 years overnight. So I agree with Carl. It is the wrong metric to look at and to go after local authorities. That's an easy target. I think it's the state to look at itself first and look at all the state-owned property and local authority-owned properties, and then look at the private sector, because the state, in using revenue to chase private owners of property, they're very easy targets. But what happens when the state itself has got large buildings that are derelict? I'll give you an example. There's a fantastic building down in Dublin Docklands in the Pigeon House beside the old Georgian building, which is an old electricity generation plant, a brick building that was always used in Foyle's War as a film set. And it's derelict and it's owned by the state, and it's falling down and it's a protected structure. Why isn't that building fixed first before you start penalising the private sector, who are already dealing with the difficulty moving and try to enable and activating developments because of could be under provision of water, electricity, transport, all those other issues that happen. So the first thing it should do is get a register and publish it of state-owned derelict property, then go after the private sector.
So do you think then this is the wrong move to abolish this levy and to move this over to the revenue commissioners?
I don't. I think it's a rebranding because at the moment it's quite punitive at 7%, and there's, I mean, it's around for 36 years. It is under-collected in certain places, but it's also, I would say, more to the fact that it's unevenly distributed across the various local authorities. Some local authorities are very good at keeping up with registers and others aren't. So, I mean, the Taoiseach's criticism is not without some weight. I mean, he is correct in certain ways, but I think perhaps it's just the way it's reported in the paper. Maybe he wasn't so binary in it that it is the local authority and nobody else is at fault. But it there is a levy for 36 years, but the central point I'm making, we've got a thing called myplan.ie, which is supposed to track all the local authority development plans. It's been around since 2014. It's not yet complete. That's the state. You've got a situation where the state last year brought out apartment guidelines and then it was judicially reviewed, and only the other day they brought out a revision. That's like literally took it 12 months to do a revision of a report, and that has caused a delay in the development market where people don't know whether to jump left or jump right pending the state getting documents. So I think the Taoiseach should look at his own departments first and make sure that his own departments are working at full speed and delivering the documentation that developers need in order to bring forward development.
Carol, it has been very difficult, I think, to get an exact sense of the number of derelict vacant properties within this country. Do we know how many roughly they are, and do we know how many have paid this levy since it was first introduced?
Actually, I'm glad you asked about the data. And before I throw out a figure, I no longer trust the data. And I'll give you a very specific reason as to why. Sligo bid. Actually, recently, Sligo, as you may know, is often cited as the town in Ireland with the highest level of commercial vacancy. And the local businesses and stakeholders came together and said, this just doesn't make sense. It doesn't reflect what we're seeing on the ground. So they actually appointed somebody to physically walk to each of the premises that was showing up on GeoDirectory. And in fact, what they discovered was that the data being fed in was based on address points from decades ago. So actually, where you might have had two families living in an area that was now a commercial building with a storage overhead was actually counting as three addresses. So it was completely distorting our dereliction figures. And that simple exercise manually undertaken by Sligo Bid shows that actually, and this is not a direct criticism of GeoDirectory, it's more criticism of us as a nation and how we've handled data. But it also means that we need to be very careful in our data that, one, we're accurately assessing what's going on the ground. But the second thing is, where a genuine level of dereliction and vacancy is identified, we have to ask why. Why is it so? Is it down to the viability of bringing that building back into a living condition that will comply with current building regulations? And there's a really interesting study and piece of research underway being conducted by UCD at the moment. And it's been led by the Irish Green Building Council with support from the Housing Department and Construct Innovate. And they've essentially posed the question to go from vacant to viable. Are building regulations a stumbling block? Are they causing challenges? And some of the early research coming out of that is really interesting, because actually what we realised was that even industry, property owners, developers, investors, there was some common misunderstandings about what it takes for a place to be viable. You know, that people thought that you needed a lift if you were going over several stories over a retail unit. And actually, that may not be the case. So actually, we have a data problem, first of all. But the second thing then is we need to understand, when we have the data and we know what's generally underused, we need to understand why and then bring in more bespoke and targeted measures. But by the way, I do welcome this tax. I do think it's a good and an important thing, but it's only a very small part of the jigsaw.
Do we also need to look at the supports and the grants that are available to people to bring these derelict houses back into supply, that these are accessible to people, realistic for people?
Yes. And I'm glad you said accessible as opposed to the value, because actually the value of our grants is quite strong. Mm. The process to be able to avail of them is really poor. And in fact, this particular one, the derelict property tax, where you're targeting, you know, particularly vacancy over shop units and things like that, there's some really big gaps in how people can engage in order to avail of a grant. So, for example, at the moment, they're only open to individuals, whereas actually in villages and towns and in many in the city as well, these buildings are owned by small business owners and they might be held by a company. The company is not in a position to avail of that. So these are the kind of things that are foreseeable and that our policy should be addressing. But we're just so slow to take. We need to almost try every wrong avenue before we can see the right avenue. And it's a real frustration given the scale of the emergency and the urgency around it. So actually one of the things we'd like to see moved quickly that is already being mooted, and that is an initial feasibility study that would be available to the owner of a building, whether it's a company or an individual, to say if it's underused, if it's derelict, why is it so, and is it viable to bring back in line with current and appropriate building standards and regulations? And even that initial feasibility, that's something that the government could fund that would move us in the right direction very quickly.
There's lots of texts coming in on this subject, which probably won't surprise anybody. Will members of the public be able to report properties to revenue as derelict, asks one person. Will there be exemptions for people who are actively trying to refurbish a property or sell a property or remortgage a property and having difficulty? What do you think, Frank?
It's Tom, sorry.
It's Tom, excuse me.
I agree, but the definition of derelict is already around 36 years in the 1990 Derelict Sites Act. And so that is, and in certain places, it's a matter of just making it, of tidying up a property. It doesn't have to be in active use, but it's just making it not look unsightly, which itself is a subjective analysis. But so that is already in place and has been around for some time.
But in terms, I suppose, the other exemptions that are going to be out there for people, will they be easy, do you think, for people to get, or will it be easy for people to sort of skirt around this issue? Say, look, we have put on a lick of paint, or we have, you know, done a little bit of work on the windows. We have made this thing look a little bit more presentable. It's not really derelict anymore.
Yeah, it is, but at the moment, you see, there's a big debate and lot of discussion about land hoarding, where developers are trying to assemble sites, and they're deemed to be land hoarding, you know, where they're trying to get three or four properties together to make a bigger development. But the state does that all the time. It's called strategic land assembly, and that's what SLA. And when a private developer does it, it's often referred to as land hoarding. So it's just to make sure that buildings are maintained over time. But if you've got the example I used earlier on of legislation that you're waiting for over a year to have rectified, and developers don't know whether to jump left or right, and it's very hard to get funding from a bank if you're waiting on legislation. So it's making sure that the timeliness that the tonist is looking for is put into his own resources in the own government departments to make sure that legislation isn't a preclusion on development coming forward. And look at it, in October 2024, the 17th of October, the Planning and Development Act was enacted, but it hasn't commenced yet. It's only certain elements of it commenced, and there's big chunks of it haven't commenced, and we're now in June 2026. So I would point my torch at different parts of society than saying it's a simple binary matter of local authorities not doing their job.
Okay, government, get your house in order first. If this does go ahead, Carol, the costs here for the owners of these derelict properties, they're pretty significant, aren't they?
They are, but actually one of the things that the study I referred to there that's been undertaken by UCD, and that's pending peer review and will be available within the next 2 to 3 months, hopefully. One of the things that disclosed, because it actually looked at case studies from around the country where this has been done well, and actually in some cases there was an overestimation of what was required. So actually that pushed the viability of the project more than it needed to. So one of the things that's going to be done to make it helpful for building owners is actually to prepare a pattern book or a set of templates that essentially will become a starting point so that actually architects will be able to come in and advise and say, well, on this specific property, we know we need to do X, but we might not need to do Y. And actually, these are the kind of decisions that impact the viability of a project and delivery on the ground. And yes, the grant and a simpler way to access grants is a really important next step. And Ciara, sorry, just one point there for one of your texters asking, could members of the public actually engage with this process where they identify derelict? Actually, that's already in place through the vacanthomes.ie initiative, and every local authority has a vacant homes officer. So in fact, actually, much of our vacant homes data at the moment has been crowdsourced, and it's really interesting. The general public are utterly annoyed when they see levels of vacancy and dereliction, particularly at a time when our rental market has gone utterly out of control and is just no longer accessible. So, yes, the public can get involved. And in fact, I think them getting involved is a really good way to speed up this initiative.
All right, Carol Tallon and Tom Phillips, we'll have to leave it there for now.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.